Well, we thank you for your prayers and appreciate the Lord's goodness to all of us. And we know he's faithful, and I believe he'll see us through to the end. I'd like to pick up a little bit this morning with Moses again. We talked about how the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush, and Moses turned aside, and when he turned aside, the Lord spoke to him out of the bush, and God had a plan for his life. But we know that Moses had his own thoughts, and they weren't the same as God's thoughts. And I want to, Moses, he gave his reasons to the Lord. I'm not sufficient in times past. I'm not sufficient now. Who am I that I should go? I've got a slow tongue, slow speech. He gave God his reasons. And I appreciate how the Lord reasoned with Moses. Yes. The Lord communicated to him his thoughts. And as it turned out in the scriptures, it really doesn't say that Moses told the Lord, "Yeah, I'll go." It doesn't say that. And I've just wondered if the Lord gave him time to think about it. But Moses did decide to surrender his reasons to the Lord and trust God and look to the Lord. And I don't believe he regretted that at all. I want to look in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 17th verse. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yes. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, yes, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Yes. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Yes. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Here he talked about the preaching of the cross. He mentioned we preach Christ crucified. And I think about what the cross means to us, what it represents. With our own human sight, the cross is not a pleasant picture. Our flesh and things sometimes draw back from the way of the Lord, the way of the cross. But he said the cross is the power of God. The cross is a place where you and I give up ourself. It's a place where we lose ourself, where we yield ourself to God, and we give up what we want to do, what the place and the path in life that we want to take. We give that up to follow God's path and God's life for us and God's plan for our life. And I believe Moses, I think about Moses when he was in the transfiguration there in the mount. There was Moses and Elijah and Christ. And do you think Moses being there transfigured, do you think he ever had any regrets of giving up his life and serving the Lord? I don't think he did. He was there talking to Christ about his deceit. He represented the law and Elijah the prophets. And here they were meeting with Christ, the gospel, together, talking about the decease he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. That would have been a wonderful sight. But there is something about us as humans, it's hard for us to let go of our thoughts. And I'm thinking about thoughts and ideas this morning. God has made us to be able to think. It's a wonderful thing to have a mind. It's a wonderful thing to be able to plan and figure and do things. That's a real blessing from our Creator. God gave us that. It's part of the image of God, I believe, that He gave us a mind and that we're able to think and have thoughts. But I want to tell us today that our thoughts can really get in the way of what God wants to do, wants to accomplish in our life. Our thoughts can hinder Him from accomplishing the plans that He has for us. And I believe God has a good plan for every person's life. He wants them to be successful in Him. He wants them to be victorious in Him. But I think about another thing that it's been weighing on my heart is the wisdom of words. He mentions here in the verse 1, he said, but to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words. And it talks about the wisdom of this world. And it talks about the wisdom from below, beneath, and the wisdom from above. You know, when I think of the word wisdom, I love that word because I associate it with God. God gives wisdom, and I think about the wisdom is such a wonderful thing to be able to have knowledge and understanding, to be able to comprehend things and understand things. That's a wonderful blessing, but it's teaching us that there's two different kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom that's of the earth. And when I think about wisdom, I think about something that perhaps looks good, that appears attractive, that appears successful, that appears like everything is in, everything is what it should be. But there's two different wisdoms. There's a wisdom from God here that we read in this. And there's a wisdom. And it says the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by, in general, by our own thoughts, we don't know God. We We have our own thoughts, we have our own ideas, and that's the way people are living today. Is they're following their own thoughts, they're following their own ideas. And the Lord allows us to do that. He gives us freedom and liberty to do that. But I want to tell something here this morning. The way of the Lord is right. The way of the Lord is above. And it's very important for us to seek out the ways of God for our life. You know, Jesus mentioned in one place, he said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you give up your thoughts, if you give up your plans. And I want to clarify this morning that God is not trying to make our life miserable.
True.
He's not trying to make our life hard and difficult.
Right.
I do believe he's trying to get us to heaven.
Yes, yes.
But I believe the Lord knows how to fill the desires of our heart more than we do.
Yes.
He knows better how to fulfill. He knows our personalities. He knows our makeups. He knows our background. He knows where we've come from, where we're at. He knows how to fulfill the desires of our heart better than we do. And if we just go through life seeking to fulfill what I want to do and my desires, Jesus says we'll lose our life. He said, if you find your life, in other words, you take your path, you take your way, you do what you're going to do, you're going to do it your way. There's a song, it was a worldly song years ago when I was a teenager. It's a sad song, but he said it, I did it my way. And it wasn't very good. And we can look out in the world today and we see the heartache, we see the trouble, we see the difficulties of people that have done it their way. Why is it so hard for us sometimes to let go of our thoughts and of our ways? To be able to seek God, Lord, I don't want my path. My path will lead me into trouble. My thoughts will get me into trouble. God gives us thoughts. God speaks to our minds. We have thoughts. The devil brings thoughts to our mind.
Yes.
And we don't see the source all the time of where the thoughts are coming from. Oh, that was God. I saw him. I thought, whoa, that one was from God there. We don't see that. We don't see the devil.
Sure.
But he brings thoughts. And thoughts are what we live by our perceptions. It's how we live our lives. And he says here, after the wisdom, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, the Greeks were considered a wise people. They sought after wisdom, it said. And I'm sure there's good things. There's probably helps, there's probably good things that was said by the Greek philosophers. I'm sure they said maybe some good things. I don't really know a whole lot about all the things they taught and all the things they said. But it's not the wisdom of God.
True.
You know, the wisdom of God teaches us that we were all sinners. The wisdom of the world doesn't want to address that. The wisdom of the world just wants to pass over that. But Jesus told the Pharisees, says, you can't believe, you didn't, you know, they heard John. He said, the harlots and the publicans go in the kingdom before you because they repented. And he said, you can't believe because you didn't repent. You didn't tell God you were sorry.
Right.
You didn't come to the acknowledgement that I've sinned, I failed.
Yes.
God. You know, that's the first step for us to recognize that I've messed up.
Yes.
I've got to change. I've got to turn somewhere. Lord, help us today to be able to give up ourselves, to die to self. There's a song that's been on my mind. It's in one of our books. It starts out, all of self and none of thee. Well, that's the way we start out, isn't it? Through life. All of self. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then the song goes on. And it says, some of self and some of thee. I may not get it all right. Some of self and some of thee. And then the last stanza said, none of self and all of thee. When we take up our cross, when we submit and yield, God doesn't leave us empty. God doesn't lead us down a dead-end road. He fulfills. And He's revealed to us. When we can't see Him with our natural eyes, but if we begin to open our heart and we begin to yield and seek His way above our way, God begins to reveal. We begin to see Him, and we begin to see the path that He has there before us. And I believe He has a path for every one of us today. He's got a place for us, a good place, a habitation. He's got a good plans for our life. I'm confident of that.
Yes.
But Lord, help us to be able to. And it's for all of us today. There's something about us. We can get settled down in our own thoughts, our own ways. And we can rely on those ways. There was a Sunday school verse this morning. Lean not to your own understanding. That's a temptation for us to do, all of us. We lean to the way we see it. The way that we're feeling. My environment. Moses was doing it. And we do it. I did it. I've done it. Sometimes I do it. But I'm thankful this morning that the Lord is willing to reason with us. He's willing to speak to us. He's willing to... We're not going to hurt Him if we share our thoughts with Him. He wants to hear. He already knows our thoughts. But it's okay to put it out there that what we're feeling, what we're thinking, to be open before God. And the Lord can work with that. And He'll begin to speak to us and reveal His thoughts to us. But it says the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, you can look out into the world and you can see a lot of success. You can see a lot of fame. You can see a lot of wealth. You can see just success all around. But what about eternity? What about the end of life? What about spiritual things? What about the destiny that I'm creating by my choices and my decisions that's going to follow me, those that are coming behind me? What about all of that? That's important this morning. And it's only as you and I take the way of the Lord. You know, I remember one of the older, I don't remember who it was, one of the older ministers. He had, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but he had this rock wall in front of him that he had to surmount and go through. He couldn't go around it. He had to go over it, and he didn't see a way. He didn't see a path. He didn't know what to do. You know, there's going to be times in our lives that that's that way. There's going to be times where I don't see. There's going to be times where I don't know what to do, what decision to make, what course to take. There's going to be times in life that we found ourselves in that position. And there's going to be a temptation there for us to lean to our own understanding, to follow the wisdom of this world, to follow self, the self-life. But in his dream, as he reached his hand as high as he could reach it, he just reached up as high as he could reach, not seeing anything there. But as he reached his hand as high as he possibly could, he saw something. There was a crevice there that he could grab a hold of. And then he pulled his other hand up in the same way. He didn't see what, there wasn't nothing there until he got his hand up there. And then his eyes were opened and he began to see. You know the story of Hagar? Hagar, the Lord, Ishmael, that whole scenario is quite a, and I'm not going to go into all that, but he said to cast out the bondwoman and her son. He's not to be the heir with the promised son. And Hagar left, and there she was in the wilderness. There she was, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go, not knowing where to turn. And her supplies were being spent, and she had this young son with her. And she finally put him over at a distance. And she just kind of... And the Lord called out to her. The Lord saw her. She probably thought God was nowhere around. And he said, Hagar, and I've wondered too about this, Hagar, Hagar, what aileth thee? What kind of question is that? My child's about to die. I don't have anything. And what ails me? Oh, I don't know, Lord. We've been there. All of us had. It's not always easy. But I'm going to encourage us this morning to seek when we're there. When there's impossibilities in front of us. We don't know where to turn. The Lord has a path. He has a way. Hold on to faith. Keep reaching up to God. Keep seeking Him with all of our hearts. And wait on Him. That's another temptation. We don't like to wait. We like to do something. Wait on the Lord, and He shall strengthen thy heart. And the Lord revealed to Hagar there was a, wasn't it a well of water right there close by that she didn't see with her natural eyes? And I believe this morning that God can help us in our impossibilities. He can help us when we're up against a stone wall. He can help us when it seems like there's no path. God can open up a way and a path. way beyond what we're able to see and what we're able to comprehend. I think about Jonah too. He's been on my mind. I love the story of Jonah. The Lord had something for him to do, but Jonah had some different thoughts. And he got on a boat that went the opposite direction. And the Lord worked in Jonah's life. The Lord was working in Jonah's life. I'm thankful for the patience and the mercy of God this morning. We're human. We're very human. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say in his prayer, he said, "Lord, You are so divine and we're so human." He was recognizing his need. The storm came up on Jonah. The Lord does this with... The Lord works this way with people. Not just Jonah. It may not be out on the waves of the sea of a boat, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some waves involved. That's going to get our attention. And Jonah knew that he was running from the presence of God. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we run away from the calling of God, the responsibilities of God, the things that God wants us to do. It doesn't appear very attractive to us. It appears like we don't want to do that. And we don't have to. Once again, we don't have to. The Lord gives us a choice. But I think about the Lord, and I think He probably thought, you know, Jonah got on the wrong vessel. And He provided another vessel to get Jonah closer to Nineveh. But Jonah came to his end. Jonah told him, he said, "Cast me overboard. Cast me into the arms of God." I don't know if Jonah knew that the Lord had a fish. I don't know what Jonah was thinking, but I know he was at his end. And I know he felt responsible for the men on that ship. And they tried very, very hard to do it their way, to row that, to get that boat to its destination without throwing Jonah on a board, but it wasn't working. The storm kept raging. And finally, Jonah said, "Cast me overboard." You know, the Lord still had a plan for Jonah. He still had something He wanted Jonah to do. And the Lord was right there to snatch him up. And when you read that, he said, "Out of the belly of hell, I cried unto the Lord." Yes. Out of the depths of loss, of pain, of my failure, I cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard me. The Bible doesn't say it, but I believe in my heart that that fish took Jonah closer to his destination. You know, this morning our ways will get us into trouble. Yes. Our ways will cause problems. Mm-hmm. And we'll lose.
I know this kind of message has been preached over and over and over and over, but it's still true.
Yes.
We lose if we go our own way.
Yes.
We lose. And ultimately, we lose our soul.
Yes.
If we don't recover and return. I pray this morning to the Lord to help us and give us a willing heart to wait on Him, to seek Him, and a willingness to follow His path and His way for our lives. You know, they say about older people, it's we get stuck in our ways. We've done something maybe a certain way so long that I want to challenge us all today. Let's not get too stuck in our ways. Let's not think that we've got it all figured out. That we know. Because we don't. We are very dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the way of the Lord. Pray for me.